You're listening to a sermon from the Mission Church in Shelby Township, Michigan. It's our prayer that today's word would challenge you, inspire you, and build your faith. Enjoy the sermon.
So last Sunday, right after church, if you were here, we had our volunteer appreciation party. It was a ton of fun. So right after service ended, we wheeled in a bunch of round tables and transformed this from a sanctuary to a banquet hall, catered an Olive Garden, and broke some bread together. Tom Petz, our executive director, gave an update on meeting with an architect and the progress we're making on a full building design. That is a temporary wall. Phase 2.2 is on their side. We're talking about building out phase two in phases. And so that is all coming soon. After Tom gave the update, we also played Kahoot, which was a great game filled with church trivia, 20 questions, and we had three winners. Congratulations to Rebecca Schaefer for first place, then Tony, I'm sorry, not Tony, not you. You wish you would have won, but you did not. Maybe next time. Sorry. Alan and Melissa, I'm glad I caught that though. Alan and Melissa Lubnow got second and third place, and then we spent the bulk of our time honoring volunteers. And so what we did, we shared from the platform, gave some shout-outs, some thanks to people who serve to make church happen. And then we passed the microphone around, and for an hour, people stood up and just gave shout-outs to different people in the room, as well as people who weren't who served but weren't able to make it that day because they were traveling. And so it was just an awesome celebration. We do have, by the way, next Sunday, in between both of our services and after, in the lobby, it's going to be Join the Team Sunday, so it's going to be our normal church service, and then afterwards there'll be an opportunity in the lobby to meet team leaders with no strings attached to hear more about what it might mean to serve, to try out a team on a Sunday, so that's coming up next week. So that happened last Sunday, And it's weird in my mind to think that was 1 week ago. Because of everything that happened, we put like 2,000 miles on the minivan because Monday was packing day and then Tuesday driving to Lynchburg, Virginia to Liberty University to drop off our firstborn Faith Sophia. Here is a picture that we took on the campus grounds that is before the tears started to flow. So we were just smiling, happy. Next picture is Faith in her awesome dorm room, overlooking eighth floor. It is beautiful. Oh my gosh. And then here is her roommate and roommate's family. If we could keep that picture up there for just a bit. So that is Abby in the middle, right next to Faith in the center. And what a great family. So finding a good roommate really matters. And the cool thing about this is Jeff, her dad, is a pastor of a church, very much like same our size and scope. So there's Jen, his wife, right next to Kelly, and then Tim with Rachel, her siblings. And so Abby and Faith are both firstborns. They're both PK preacher kids and just a great family, like a true answer to prayer in that picture. And so we're just praying that they would connect and have how are you really doing kinds of conversations, which is what I preached on last week. And so so we were there for a few days, and then we said our goodbyes at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday just to rip the Band-Aid off. It was time. And got home, drove through the night, got home about 3 a.m. And after, thanks to Love's Coffee and Cheetos were my kind of go-to, just so you know. So, by the way, this is something I bought. This is a Sam's Club shirt because if you buy the one at the Liberty Bookstore, it was like $130. This is like $20. So, right across the street, it's official merch. So, Faith's right by my heart. So just tons of tears. So we got home. And then that night, Friday night, was driving out to Livonia for the Lamplighter cross-country meet for Alvin and Elizabeth, and they ran for Utica High School. So we were there, got home about 1 in the morning, Saturday morning, and then at noon we had to drop them off at the high school parking lot there at cross-country camp. And so we have an empty nest for a few days, and it's pretty boring. So Please pray. Just as a side note, interesting, just, you know, like in years past, we really like enjoyed like, hey, having a few days away from the kids. In the parking lot, though, there were some moms saying, enjoy your freedom. You know, I'm like, no, we're not. We're not going to enjoy our freedom. But we're glad they'll be back in a few days on Wednesday. And so, yeah, so we put about 2,000 miles on our Honda Odyssey. Go Odyssey. And so today, we are launching a new series. Originally, this was going to be week 5 of the series we've been in. The series we've been in is titled In a Desert, What to Do When Your Faith Isn't Working. And originally, the sermon today was going to be one sermon length and just a part of the series. And I realized if I want to say everything I wanted to say about this topic, it'd be like a 5-hour-long sermon. And so let's just turn this into a series. And so this series is going to build on very much, it's the sequel to the Inner Desert series, but it's going to stand on its own itself. I'm going to be sharing, just like I did in the last series, the journey, the spiritual journey I was on while I was going to seminary out in California 25 years ago, and it was a dark time. It was a desert experience for me, especially year 2 of seminary. And so as I share my story, as I continue to share it, as I continue to give that testimony, I pray the Holy Spirit and believe He's going to speak to you, that you're going to hear your story in my story, and God's going to connect some dots for you through this. So this series is titled Journey to a Deeper Faith. That's also the title of the sermon today, Journey to a Deeper Faith. And here's a sneak preview of kind of where we're headed in this series. When it comes to our faith in America, it's often, unfortunately, a mile wide, but just an inch deep. And that needs to change. That as followers of Jesus, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we need and we ought to go deeper and deeper in our faith. And so it's time for all of us, and this is me preaching to myself, to get out of the more shallow end of the pool, so to speak, and go deep with God. The good news is, just like we preached a whole series, with God, there's always more. With God, you can always go deeper. May we never be content with where we're at on our spiritual journey ever. And so in this series, we're going to unpack one of the most important things I ever learned while I was out in California in seminary. But interestingly enough, it's something I didn't learn while I was in the classroom. And when I say, like, it's one of the most important things, like, it's a game-changing thing, that's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration, it's true. And the odd thing as I was processing it is, like, this is a concept that, like, I'm thinking, why haven't I taught this in the past, like, 14 or 15 years? And my answer is, I don't know. I'm not sure. Except here's what I do know. Proverbs 16:9. In their hearts, humans plan the course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And so this is a concept what I'm going to unpack in this series. It's a great time to be here at the Mission because we're going to be leaning in to something that was transformative to me. And it starts today. And again, I feel like just now is the time. The Lord is establishing the steps and saying, now's the time to preach this. So last week, I shared how, and over the past month that I was out in California going to seminary from 1999 to 2002, and in the summer of 2001, between years 2 and 3 of seminary, I came back home to do an internship for the entire summer full-time at Kensington Church in Troy, which was my home church prior to me going to seminary. David Nelson was my supervisor, and I shared how everything changed when on one week during our check-in early on in my internship, he started off by saying, hey man, how you doing? And I answered, I'm good. And then it was the Holy Spirit nudge where he paused, looked me square up in the eyes and said, how are you really doing? And as soon as he said that, got teary-eyed, ended up at Dairy Queen, which is healing to the soul. But anyway, so right before I came back home for the summer, I went on a church planners conference in Oxnard, California, led by a guy named Neil Cole. Since that time, again, that was in 2001, Neil has written a bunch of books. You can find him on Amazon. He's spoken all over the world. But back then, Neil Cole was just Neil Cole. And it was a conference, a retreat, about 40 to 50 pastors. It was on the house church movement. And so something I was getting some school credit for seminary, learning about like like different ways to do church, and house churches are a thing, especially in other parts of the world. They become more and more a thing in America. And so I'm an introvert, and I was fine not knowing anybody except one person at this retreat. So I was alone while I was together. But because of where I was at on my spiritual journey, although I was there in the physical sense, I was not there really emotionally at all. My heart was not in it. Again, it was at the tail end of the second year of seminary, and so I talked about in the Desert Series, I had a major faith crisis that year, and I questioned everything. I was more of an atheist for some of the year than a believer in God, as strange as that sounds while you're in seminary. And then I was having like emotional breakdowns and sobbing attacks and just uncontrollable crying. And so that was the season that I was coming out of, still in it, but coming out of it by the grace of God, and now I'm at this retreat. And so I was going through the motions by attending, but it was really not there. I was pretty checked out, especially the final day. It's like, okay, it's the final session on the final day, and I'm like, okay, time to go. And there's this pastor who comes up. It was not Neil. I had not ever heard of this guy, and he comes up to teach something that I didn't really at the time care about, or at least thought I was going to care about it. And I was thinking, hey, it's the final session, so maybe I should just go walk in the woods instead and just spend some time by myself. But here I am in this conference room. It was about the size of, say, like our kids' classrooms in the back. Some round tables, again, 40 to 50 people. And the pastor hands out this one-page, very not professional kind of, you know, some boxes, you know, there's no logos, it wasn't in color, and I'm judging it, and he starts talking about how he's going to talk about this concept called stages of faith, and just on our spiritual journey, there's certain stages we go through, and how we grow in our faith, and so I'm going to take you back in this sermon to that retreat, to what that pastor shared. And I just pray again that the Holy Spirit would breathe on this story, on this testimony, that you would hear your story in my story, that God, this would bring freedom to you, that God would connect some dots of where you are on your spiritual journey, where you have been on your spiritual journey, and where perhaps you want to head on your spiritual journey. And by the way, today I'm just going to touch on each of these stages right now. In the coming weeks, we're going to dig deep, go deep into each one. So what you're about to hear is a sneak preview of sorts. Each of these stages of faith, you could preach a whole sermon on it, and that's most likely what we're going to do. That's our plan, but the Lord establishes our steps, right? And so in the coming weeks, we're going to press into each of these stages of faith. So the pastor, he starts off and he talks about the first stage of a spiritual journey is when you discover God, when you find God, when God becomes really real to you. It's that point where you decide Jesus died on the cross, not just for sins of the world, but for my sins. You accept him as Lord and Savior. You cross the line of faith. You discover God. So faith is discovering God in this stage. And when you're in this stage, when you're at praise and worship, many times you got tears flowing because, man, the words are more than just words. If you've gone to church for a while, and this actually happened to me. I was born and raised going to church, but I didn't really understand the gospel until I was in my 20s, going to Kensington Church in Troy, actually. And so, like, everything was new, and I remember thinking, like, why hasn't anybody ever taught me this stuff before? Like the concept of grace, I truly did not understand what grace was until Steve Andrews, lead pastor Kensington, taught on grace. And I'm like, it's in the Bible, like I read it before, but I never understood what grace was. God gave me fresh eyes to see things that I heard about my entire life up to that point. A psalm that describes this stage is like Psalm 18:1. That says, I love you, Lord, my strength. In this stage, you don't like love of God is not just a concept, not just part of the statement of faith, but it's something you experience and it overwhelms you. Verse 2 of Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Like God, it just gets really big. And you are undone. You're overcome with the love of God, with the goodness of God. That's a snapshot again of stage one. So the pastor talked about that, and then he said, but then there's another stage on your spiritual journey. The next stage is when you live out your new creation in Christ, your identity in Christ. You begin to live out your faith, and in this stage, faith is really all about learning about God. God becomes the most important thing in your life. You want to read the Bible, you're compelled to read it, and when you do, like verses jump off the page, you pray, and you realize, like, I'm praying to the creator of the universe. God, like, hears me, and answers me, and so you pray a ton. Going to church in this stage becomes like the most important activity of your entire week. You never miss a Sunday. A passage that describes this stage of the spiritual journey, Psalm 119, speaking to God. I love this. How sweet your words taste to me. They're sweeter than honey. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So that's a quick snapshot of stage two. Then the pastor talked about the next stage. Stage three is when you press into putting your faith in action. You may have volunteered at church before. You may have served outside the walls of your church before back in stage two, but this is when you lean in. You go all in, and faith is serving God. Faith is synonymous with serving God. And chapter two from James is a great summary passage that describes this stage where it says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. And so in stage three, you reveal your faith, not just by what you say you believe, but how you live. So the pastor at this point, again, I'm, you know, putting, like, filling the blanks in this handout with boxes on it, and stage one, stage two, stage three, and I'm kind of on autopilot at this point, really, like, thinking, man, I wish I wasn't sitting up front, so I could, like, sneak out the back and go walk in the woods for a couple more hours till the retreat ends. And that's just where my headspace was until the very next thing the pastor said. Everything changed with what I'm about to share. And so, just honestly, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but, like, who's been on autopilot so far in my sermon? Who's been thinking about where they're going to go out to eat or go shopping at Costco and you need butter? Lock in. It's time to lock in. We're locked. Lock. Lock in. He shared this, and this, I pray, just maybe you feel a good conviction of the Holy Spirit with what I'm about to say. Not condemnation, but conviction. When you're in stages two or three in your spiritual journey, you kind of think you have God pretty much all figured out. You know how to pray. When you pray, God answers prayer. You have a Bible reading plan. You have a plan. You work the plan. God's speaking to you. You have your theology locked in. Like, you know what you believe and why. And everything makes sense. And then at some point, and there's not like this definitive line, like one day you wake up, but there's this period of transition where you move from what's known as stage three faith to a stage four. And stage four is known as the inward journey. And in stage four, your faith stops working the way it used to, working in quotation marks. Your faith stops working the way it used to. In previous stages of your spiritual journey, you thought you had it all figured out. When people were struggling, you might judge them like, man, I'm more mature than they are. I don't understand why they don't get what I get. But now you're not so sure. There's things that you were certain of before that you're not so certain about anymore. There are points of theology you thought were black and white, and now they're gray. You aren't sure what to do about that. And this often happens, why the move from stage three to stage four happens. You pray about something that really, really matters to you, and for the first time in your life, that prayer didn't get answered the way that you wanted it to. And you're rocked a little bit by that. You're not sure what to do about that. Like, you had your prayer formula. It used to work all the time. Like, what happened? Pray the same way before? You can lose your joy in reading the scriptures. God's word stops becoming sweeter than honey. A story that describes this stage in the Gospels is with the apostles. They go out two by two, and Jesus gives them the authority, and they're like casting out demons, and they're healing people, and they're coming back and praising God. And then they encounter this father who has a demonized boy, and they're like, oh, okay, demonized boy, been there, done that. Be healed, be gone in Jesus' name. And the boy keeps convulsing, and the demon doesn't come out, and they don't know what to do about that because they did this stuff before. It's just a demon. But now they can't bring freedom to this boy. So Jesus comes down the mountain where he was at, and he casts out the demon. And that says this in Mark 9, verse 28. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can only come out by prayer," which could have brought even more confusion because, like, hey, well, we've prayed. So what happened? Staged inward journey, right? Things are kind of upside down. So as pastor, he's describing the stage. And I remember as he's sharing this in this conference room, I began to get some tears going. Thankfully, it was not a full-out sobbing attack, but tears started forming in my eyes, running down my cheek. Had to get some Kleenex, blow my nose, because I felt like this pastor was sharing my story. My faith was definitely not working the way it used to. I was in this inward journey. Now he gave me language for it. He was describing the previous year of my life. He was putting words to what I was thinking, what I was feeling, what I was experiencing. This random pastor was speaking. God was speaking through him to me. And so I got some tears blowing my nose. And then things got like really real, because then he started talking about hitting a wall. Between stages 4 and 5, there's something called the wall. And when this happens, your faith crashes into it. The wall is basically part of stage 4. It's between stage 4 and stage 5, but it's like its own separate stage as well. And at this point, like, your faith doesn't just stop working the way it used to. It feels broken. You hit a wall with God, and you can't get past it. You can't climb over it. You can't dig under it. You have to go through it, but you can't go through it. So you're stuck. A Bible verse that describes how someone feels when they hit the wall, Psalm 88. This is from the sons of Korah, verse 13 and 14. "But I cry out to you, God, for help. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" That's a wall scripture. So this pastor's sharing about stage 4, and then he talks about this experience called the wall. And now tears, I'm in the front row. So I can't, I was like row 1, seat 1, which is, by the way, a great row to sit in. Nobody ever sits in it. I want to invite you to come up. But I'm like row 1, seat 1, round table right here. The door is there. I can't leave, and I can't stop crying. Thankfully, there's some Kleenex. I'm blowing my nose. It wasn't like a sob, but it was like there's some tears going on. A lot of tears. And so then the pastor talks about, what happens when God takes you to the other side of the wall. That's stage 5. It's called the outward journey. And then he talks about stage 6, the life of love. And I didn't really hear anything that he was saying, because I was stuck in the wall in the inward journey part and just crying and blowing my nose. And I stopped taking my notes on that handout. I was just a mess. And so he gets done, and I just felt compelled. I have to go up and talk to this pastor. And so I go up to him, bloodshot eyes, ugly cry, tears, because you just described my life in the past year. Could you pray for me? And I think I freaked him out. Because, hopefully as a pastor, he's like, "Hey, what I said actually God's used." But I think I overwhelmed him. And so he prayed a very awkward prayer. I remember that. I'm just like, I'm gonna give him grace, because I just let me talk to you, he was like. And so I just thanked him. He made sense of my journey. He put words to it. He gave me context. And it helped me realize that I'm not alone. And so that was in Oxnard, California, right before I came back home to Michigan for the summer. So now let me go back to where I ended my sermon last week. I'm now doing my internship a couple weeks in. Dave Nelson, my supervisor, asks me the "how are you really doing" question. And I get some tears. We end up at Dairy Queen getting some blizzards to bring healing, inner healing, some blizzards. And I'm in the car, we're eating our blizzards, and I shared about my experience at Oxnard, California with Dave about these stages of faith. And I was expecting like me to be teaching Dave something, like him to go, wow, that's profound. Do you have that handout? And said, Dave's like, oh yeah, the stages of faith. Yeah, I know that. You didn't know that? I'm like, didn't know that. So he started explaining there's this concept called stages of faith, and there's many, many different authors who have written on it, like Teresa of Avila wrote The Interior Castle. That's like a classic work hundreds of years ago that's about stages of faith. And M. Scott Peck wrote The Road Less Traveled. Robert Mulholland wrote Invitation to a Journey. Those are on the back of your bulletin, by the way, some books that we, if you want to understand more about stages of faith. But the book that is at the top is The Critical Journey, Stages in the Life of Faith by Hagberg and Gulick. And this is a book, Dave's like, you need to buy this book and read it, because that's kind of what the guy was teaching from. And at first, I'm like, I don't think the guy like quoted his source. And I'm like, no, he probably did. And I was just so checked out, I didn't care. Like, blah, 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 critical journey, blah, blah. Until I got to the inward journey part. I'm like, what, well, you know. But anyway, so I went and got that book, and I started to read it, and it was incredibly helpful, because again, it gave even more context beyond this hour and a half talk from this pastor. And so, since today's the kickoff of the series we're in, we're just starting this journey, I want to share some key truths that I want to, like, as handlebars to grab onto as we go on this journey. The first key truth is this. It's actually a circle graphic, so if we could see that up here, Andrew, thank you. So stages of faith, those are the six stages plus the wall that I talked about that the pastor spoke on. If you want to take a picture of it, you can. You can sketch it out. But we're going to be going back to this over the next 6 to 7 weeks or so, and I'm going to be unpacking each of the stages. It's very important that these stages, even though they're numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, it appears in a circle and not in a straight line for a very important reason that we're going to press into, that I'm going to touch on just in a bit. But those are the stages. Next key truth is this. This is so important. You are probably not as far along on your spiritual journey as you think. Very important. The first time that I read the Critical Journey book, I thought, you know, they talk about stage 6, like a life of love, the most mature stage. And I'm like, that's me. You know, I'm a seminary student. I almost got my Master of Divinity. I'm stage 6. I'm like, you know, here's Jesus, and I'm like right there. You know, that's seriously like what I thought. The Apostle Paul would challenge that in Romans 12:3, where he said, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." So keep in mind, as we're in this series, you're probably not as far along your spiritual journey as you think. Just as a side note, I shared this. I felt an invitation from the Lord to share it at the 9:15 service, and I'll share it again. When it comes to spiritual gifts, I'm sorry, the fruit of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul, right, to the Galatians, one of them is patience. And I thought when I was 30 years old, so this is after seminary, prior to getting married to Kelly, I have an apartment by myself in the Hamptons off of Rochester Road. And I remember having this thought in my mind. When I'm by myself, I'm like, I am an incredibly patient person. Like when it comes to, some of you are laughing, like, I remember having this thought in the apartment, like, you know, out of, if you had to rank like the nine fruit, like I'm like, patience is my number one. Like I'm incredibly patient. And that's very easy to think when you're living by yourself in an apartment, very easy. And then like, within a year of that thought, that massively ignorant thought, I got married to Kelly, and I realized I'm not as patient as I thought I was. Not as patient as I thought I was. And then we had kids. Talk about a spiritual formation machine. That's children. That just exposes how broken we are. Faye Sophia, getting ready. It's like doing anything took like 5 times longer. I'm a patient person. I knew I was when I was in the apartment by myself as a single guy. I say that to say, you are probably not as far along your spiritual journey as you think. Next, this is a huge truth. You circle back to each stage. You go deeper each time you revisit each stage. This is important, again, even though they're numeric, it's not like you go to stage one, you complete stage one, it's like playing a video game, you advance to stage one, and that gate closes, now you're on stage two, and then you get stage three, and then you never go back. Actually, what you do is you continue to circle. That's why it's a circle. You go back to each stage as you live out your faith, and each time you revisit a stage, you go deeper with God. Each time you revisit a stage. And so, as an example, next week I'm going to talk about stage one, where, again, I touched on it, and it, for most of you, I'm assuming, is a past tense thing. It's when you discovered God. If you haven't yet, we'd love to pray with you to get you right with God, and that's part of the reason why we have a prayer team, where you can cross that line of faith and accept Jesus in your heart, in your life, King, Lord, Savior. But that's stage one. That's a version of stage one, but then over the past now 25 years plus, I've gone back to stage one a number of times, and I've discovered new things about God, new truths about God, and I'm just in a different version of stage one all over again. We're going to be pressing into that starting next week, and each of the stages, how you circle back more and more and more. Stage two talks about identity in Christ, and you can learn about identity in Christ, and then you can relearn about identity in Christ, and just more and more. It's deeper. There's always more. And so you will revisit each stage multiple times in our spiritual journey, and each time go deeper. Another key truth is, as human beings, like, we are complex, so there are, in any given moment, a part of you will be at one stage, a different part of you will be at a different stage. You might be at one stage right now with how you use your mouth. You might be at another stage with how you use your time, another stage with how you use your money, how you pray, how you share your faith. You might be at one stage with your spouse. You might be at another stage with one of your kids and another stage with a different one of your kids, another stage with your friends, yet another stage with one person in particular. So there, although we are like one person, we're complex in that, and how we relate, we're at different stages. So that is true, but we also need to hold this truth in tension with that truth. You also have a home stage, which best describes where you're at on your spiritual journey right now. So again, there's six stages of faith plus the wall, which is like a seventh stage. And so even though, again, in our complexity, we're at a different part depending on where we're at in our lives or what we're talking about, if you could sum up your entire spiritual journey, add it all together, you have a home stage that describes most of you. And so again, those are key truths that we're going to circle back to in this series as we unpack each stage in depth. But since today is week one, I want to frame this series for you by giving you an action step, something that you can start leaning into, pressing into, so you live out the sermon and don't just hear it. And I really felt the Holy Spirit just lead me in this action step. Here's the question I landed on. It's a question for reflection. How deep do you want to be with God 100 days from now? So, crazy week, traveling to Virginia, back to Livonia, back, dropping the kids off, cross-country crap. So I'm working on my sermon, and I like to be done well in advance than like the day before or 2 days before. Just tell how I feel like the Holy Spirit speaks to me. It takes time. But it's Friday, so 2 days ago, and I'm still... I have a lot to go. And I'm praying about the action steps. I'm praying about the application. And it was truly like one of those Holy Spirit lead me as I'm doing my sermon prep. And I had, and this is a really deep term, a thought pop into my head. No, it's deep, but it's like God like answered. It's like a sideways thought. And I started having this thought. Originally, the action step was going to be pray daily to go deeper with God, which is a great action step. Pray daily to go deeper with God. It's a great thing to do. But I wanted to make it more concrete than that. And so as I'm So this is like the first full day we're back home in Michigan without our oldest daughter, Faith. And I began to think about her. And a thought popped into my mind out of nowhere that I began to think about the next time Faith's going to be back here at her home church at the mission. And our plan right now is that she'd be home over Thanksgiving week. And I'm assuming, and I talked to, it was a joke, but it's not a joke, like when she's here, Jake's going to schedule her to play keyboard. And so right now, I love the acoustic set, it's awesome, and there's other people who can play keys, but we love to add to our keyboard. So right now it's empty, and this is like Faith's spot. She spent a lot of Sundays here. And so that Sunday before Thanksgiving is when she would be like the first time back here. And I just thought to myself, like randomly, like that's probably about 100 days or so from now, because it's in 3 months. And so I got out my phone, and I asked my phone that question: how many days until Sunday, November 23rd? And just as a side note, isn't it weird that we, like quote unquote, like ask our phones stuff? Like it's a phone, and the thing we use it the least of is as a phone. So Apple Intelligence, right? Which is scary, like, hey, Apple Intelligence, how many days until November 23rd? And then it speaks to you. November 23rd is 100 days from now. And I'm like, whoa, okay, it's not just about 100 days, it's exactly 100 days. Okay, God's in this. And so I just start praying into this action step further. But I want you to think about this. Whether you know our daughter Faith or not, you can imagine that as a freshman going away to school, she's going to change a lot over the next 100 days. It's her first time away from home, first time, you know, going to college, living in a dorm, just turned 18. It's a lot of new things. And we hope to see her over Parents' Weekend, which is in a month, but we aren't sure if that's going to be able to happen or not. And so Thanksgiving week might be the first time that we see Faith 100 days from now. So these next 100 days, we know we're going to change her. And for those of you, again, who know her, when you see her at church, I'm guessing you're going to be amazed, like, oh my gosh, like, how much you've changed. And I share that to ask this question. What about you? What about you? I know a few students are going to be going away to college, but probably 99% of the people in this room are not. But where do you want to be on your spiritual journey? What growth do you want to experience over the next 100 days? The next 100 days are going to tick off the calendar one day at a time. That's true for every one of us. So where do you want to be 100 days from now? Because a lot can change in 100 days. Unfortunately, a lot could stay the same too. We have that thing called free will and choice. And so as we're beginning this series, I want you to think about how deep do you want to be with God 100 days from now? And I want to invite you to really pray into that question and reflect on it. Who do you need to love better? And 100 days from now, if you could look back and go, wow, thank you, God, how much I love that person better. How much bigger do you want God to be in your life 100 days from now? What question about God or the Bible would you love to get answered over the next 100 days? What spiritual gift would you love to be flowing in 100 days from now? Where do you want your home stage of faith to be? If you're stuck at a stage, you just don't want to be stuck there 100 days from now. And the way we change is choice, right? What we choose to do each day. And so I want you to imagine for a moment, we could hop in a time machine, we could fast forward to November the 23rd. And you can imagine Faith's here playing keyboard that Sunday. And when you see her, may that be a reminder of this sermon. And may that lead you to reflect on the past 100 days. And imagine again, it's November 23rd and you're reflecting now and you realize, you know what? I have not missed church a single Sunday since August 17th because I made that choice. Imagine the amount of community you could have experienced if you check the box in the back of the card that says, yeah, you know what? I want to lead a small group this fall. I want to join a small group. I want to jump into a serving team. Imagine if you got a Bible reading plan and 100 days from now you could celebrate, I read the Bible every day. And I prayed like substantially every day over the past 100 days. And on and on. Imagine where you can be 100 days from now if you decide that God matters more than anything else. And by the way, God really does matter more than anything else. And so how deep do you want to be with God 100 days from now? Unfortunately, our faith in America is often a mile wide and just an inch deep. But it's going to change. It's changing. I believe God's breathing on this series. And as we press into these stages of faith, as we take a look behind the curtain, I pray that God connects dots. I believe it's already happening right now. And it's going to continue to happen. So I'm super thankful you're here for week one. Every one of these sermons is going to be to be continued. So you got to come back, bring a friend with you for week two as we look at what it means to discover God and then to rediscover God and then to rediscover God again and again and again. Let me pray. So God, thank you for the emotion in this room. Thank you for the tears that some people have right now, and I bless them. They're holy tears. And I thank you, God, for how you are going to use this series to have us lean in deeper and deeper to you. God, you are good. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. To stay up to date on all things The Mission, you can visit our website at themission.church.